Good morning. We're in Genesis chapter 17, verses 9 through 14. So if you'd turn to that, that would be appreciated. These chairs are just wonderful, aren't they? I love them. What I appreciate is not having the arms in the way when you go to sit down and my bottom being so low to the ground that when I get up, my knees crack and crinkle and stuff. So I appreciate that a lot. The additional room, I'm sure, is a big help for all the little ones. And as always, we do have supplies in the back. If you haven't made it yourself or taken advantage of that, please do. There's crayons and there's things to color. The only thing is, just as a reminder, let's not use any markers or ink pens because they get a little bit wild sometimes and want to color and draw on things that they shouldn't, but that's just being children, you know. So let's see here. So Genesis chapter 17. Now we're going through the Abrahamic portions of Genesis for the past 14 weeks. You know, we're not going to go through the complete book of Genesis, but just those portions pertaining to Abraham. But today we're going to read verses 9 through 14 and get into some rather delicate topics. So if you're new, I apologize up front. We practice expository preaching, and we don't shy away from any scripture. In 2 Timothy, it says, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So if you'd read along with me. And God said to Abraham, as for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your offspring after you, throughout their generations. This is my covenant which you shall keep, between me and you and your offspring after you. Every male among you shall be circumcised. You shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. He who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised. Every male throughout your generations, whether born in your house or bought with your money, from any foreigner who is not of your offspring, both he who is born in your house and he who is bought with your money shall surely be circumcised. So shall my covenant be in your flesh, an everlasting covenant. Any uncircumcised male who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my commandment. May God bless the reading of this word. And please pray with me. Father, thank you for your word. We approach your word with open hearts and minds, eager to understand you better. Thank you for your words today, words that may seem applicable only to Abraham, his household, and the nation Israel. But help us, Father, to understand how they remain important for us today. Help us to see their importance for our lives and the special meaning they have in our daily walk with you. Open our hearts to your Holy Spirit, teaching us so we can grow in the knowledge of you and mature in your faith, in our faith. Reveal to us more of who you are and the way you work in our lives, conforming us more and more into the image of your Son, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. The heart of the covenant. As usual, we cover these things every week. Context. We have to remain in the context of Scripture. We have to know what precedes it. We need to understand what comes after it. We need to understand the whole book and the whole Bible better so that we can keep everything in context. It's so very, very important. And as usual, we have the keys, okay? The 3 points that we want to keep in mind as we go through everything that we preach on the topic, or on any topic. God's chosen people, his elect people, okay? The divine covenant and everything that is in that and what it means. And also then the providence of God, the certainty that what he says he will do, he will do. So let's review 5 points from last week. God is in control. God is leading. God is who is guiding. God is the actor. God is the agent in this moment. He commands. He says, this is my covenant. Made evident in the ratification ritual of chapter 15, if you remember that. The cutting of the animals and the walking through the center. God alone walked through that ritual. Abraham will be the father of a multitude of nations. In a spiritual sense, he will make nations of people that have the same faith of Abraham and will believe God will provide all they need. If we remember Abram, his given name means high father or great father. Abraham means father of multitudes. We also covered that he would be exceedingly fruitful. As we will see, it's not just a biological thing. It includes a spiritual descendants, those who believe as Abraham. The exceedingly is emphasized when God says kings will come of you. We covered the everlasting covenant. This is not a covenant with every single Jewish person throughout all time, but only those who have faith and believe like Abraham. We only have to look at Ishmael and Esau to understand that this only pertains to those who believe. And then we had the everlasting possession. When everything is said and done, God's chosen people will inherit the earth. We looked at Revelation chapter 21. A new heaven and a new earth will be presented. Everything that was cursed in Genesis 3, 14 through 19 will be redeemed and returned. So, we also last week we introduced the chiastic structure. Okay, and let's see here. If you remember, this is a way of highlighting. This is a way the Hebrew language would highlight a specific important theme, okay? And so in chapter 17, we see the Lord appears, okay? There's an introduction, a speech by God. Abraham's response, he fell on his face. And then God speaks again and gives Abram the name Abraham. So the next section today is the sign of the covenant. This is the center of that chiastic structure. This is where the author is trying to get you to focus on. This is the most important. And then next week we will go through Sarah's name change, Sarai's name change to Sarah, Abraham's response and laughter, and then the conclusion, and then finally the Lord ascends. Okay. Before we get started, though, we need to go over some background material. Now, in this material, I'm not going to get into some details. I mean, I've learned more about circumcision in the last 2 or 3 months than I ever wanted to. I've listened to some sermons that have been woo. But anyways, I am not going to go there. We're not going to make this an adult-only service, so just be assured that that's not going to happen. First, we need to understand that this is not a new practice, okay? This has been a practice of multiple people groups throughout most of history. Some of them were a rite of passage into adulthood and other perverse issues or things. Others was a rite of passage into marriage, okay? But archaeologists have found depictions of this practice in the ancient Egyptian hieroglyphs. So yes, this was a known practice, but now it has a different use, okay? Also, this is the first time the word or the practice is mentioned in Scripture. From here on, it will be used in one form or another, a total of 446 times. In chapter 17, it's used 10 times. It's the highest use of the word in any other chapter of the Bible. Um, Now we get into the physical significance of the practice, okay? It's found in verse 11. It's to be a sign of the covenant. It's a mark of loyalty. It represents the entrance into the covenant stated and ratified by God and God alone in chapter 15, as we said. But for Abraham, it is a sign and a seal of his righteousness. Let me read Romans 4, 11 and 12. He received the sign of circumcision as a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. The purpose was to make him the father of all who believe without being circumcised, so that righteousness would be counted to them as well, and to make him the father of the circumcised who are not merely circumcised, but who also walk in the footsteps of the faith that our father Abraham had before he was circumcised. So this scripture makes it clear that for Abraham, this ritual is a sign and a seal of the righteousness credited to him in chapter 15, verse 6. Okay, this ritual made no one righteous, not even Abraham. This is evident by God's pronouncement concerning Ishmael in the previous chapter as being a donkey of a man, his hand against everyone and everyone against him. And the fact that Ishmael, he will be circumcised along with every other male in the community. So that alone helps us to understand that the circumcision, physical, is not of any benefit whatsoever as it pertains to salvation. This includes all the males in his household. We see the inclusion of Gentiles in verse 12. When God says, whether born in your house or bought with your money. Therefore, Gentiles were included in this covenant community and would share in the blessings of God for the nation of Israel. And it hints at the spiritual truth about the covenant community of the New Testament in Galatians 3:28, where it said, neither Jew or Greek. It also signified commitment to the Jewish community in service for its health, security, and wealth. The formation of the covenant community was a process of incorporating households which were under the authority of the confessing servant of the Lord, which is Abraham. To Abraham's physical offspring, this commitment entailed their safety from physical enemies and God's special presence among them on earth. It signified that they would be submissive to God in the leadership of Abraham. It was a physical reminder of a spiritual truth. So as it pertains to the community, Abraham was a wealthy man with many servants and livestock. We saw in chapter 14, he went into battle with 318 trained fighting men, but yet remained back at camp with many other men and children and women. So there, at this point in time, some 20 years later, there is a large number, and this composes is the community of Abraham's household. Abraham was promised many descendants that would come from his seed, and they did. We just look back at chapter 16, we see that Ishmael, the child of Hagar, will become a great nation. In Genesis 16:10, it says, they cannot be numbered for multitude. In a couple of weeks, in chapter 17, verses 20 and 21, it says, make him fruitful and multiply him greatly. He shall father 12 princes, and I will make him into a great nation. This physical community that would enjoy the blessings of God include all who were bought with his money. As we know at this point in time, Abraham has no children except for Ishmael, and so many of in his household do not come from his bloodline. There, of course, is Lot and that part of his family, but on the whole, most of his household are not of his biological bloodline. Then there are all those within his household that believe as Abraham did and can be counted as belonging to two communities. One is the physical, as we just learned, and the other is a spiritual community. Scripture from Genesis 12:3 tells us that all the families of the earth will be blessed. This is the spiritual community is the best described by a quote from E.B. Smith, which he says, "To those in the Old Testament who took its meaning seriously, it was the mark of submission to the sovereign will of God." So we've got two communities here. So didn't get this into the slides, but what you have is, we'll say two circles, okay? In this circle over here, we would have all of the Jewish community of all time, okay? And circumcision is very important to them, and we take that they are all circumcised. So you got this circle over here. In this circle, we have all of the spiritual community. These are everybody for all time that believe in Christ, that believe in the Savior, that follow Yahweh, okay, if we want to use the Old Testament believers. So we take these two circles, okay, and we bring them together and overlap them. And this overlap, this piece in the middle that overlaps, this is that community of the Jews, of the Jewish nation, that belong to both communities, both the spiritual and the physical. And in the center of that is Christ. Okay? And for some reason, I lost my warnings notes. The penalty of disobedience, we learn from the scripture that 14, that to be disobedient means that you'd be cut off from the community. Now that would be a tough thing to do, to be cut off from the community of Abraham, which would mean that they would have to be self-reliant. They have to find their own food. They have to protect themselves. They have to whatever. And the chances of survival are very low. Oh, goodness. I see what I did. I skipped warnings and went right to community. Sorry. It's what happens when you start scrolling and it just keeps on going. So, anyways, in refusing circumcision, they show contempt for the authority of God that ordained it and of the grace that sealed it. This is a total rejection of God and demanded removal from all God and removal from all that God can and will do for the nation of Israel. And since I covered that already, so at the heart of the covenant is the circumcision of the heart. Looking more closely at the covenant as described in chapter 17, verse 7, we can see that its core emphasis is on the personal relationship with God. To be God to you, he says. We see here the use of the pronoun you and your. These are both second person singular pronouns telling us that God is a personal God, okay? It's a promise that is shared in all the covenants of God. Here's a quote from Kidner, his commentary on Genesis, and it says here, "Spiritually, the essence of the covenant is personal, like the I will of a marriage. So the pledge, I will be their God, far outweighs the particular benefits that are in this covenant." God does the circumcision, okay? On the screen we have Deuteronomy 30, verse 6. "And the Lord your God will circumcise your heart in the heart of your offspring, so that you will love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, that you may live." It's God is the one that changes the heart. Without that change, that regeneration, we can't respond in faith and believe anything of God. The same message is also found in Jeremiah 31, 33. I will write it on their hearts. Jeremiah 32, I will give them one heart in one way. I will put the fear of me in their hearts, and they will not turn from me. Ezekiel 11, I will give them one heart and a new spirit I will put within them. I will remove the heart of stone from their flesh and give them a heart of flesh. It's God that's doing the action, okay? So we belong to the spiritual covenant community called the Church Universal or the Catholic Church. This is a community of people from all time, past and future, that believe as Abraham through the faith given by God. The word circumcised is also used as a metaphor in Deuteronomy 10:16 and Jeremiah 4:4. In both of these, God says, circumcise the foreskin of your heart, okay? Or circumcise yourselves to the Lord. Remove the foreskin of your heart. We see a call to dedicate ourselves to correct understanding of God's word and to apply it to our lives. The use of foreskin is also a metaphor. It represents the sin of our heart. We are to rein in our natural desires and remain committed to a relationship with God. On the screen, I have Colossians 2, verses 11 through 14. So let's read through this. In him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you, who were dead in your trespasses in the uncircumcision of your flesh, made God alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses, by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. We see here the beautiful blessing of being made righteous before God. Nothing we have done can bring us into a personal relationship with God. It's all him and none of us. The Father ordains that we are to be circumcised of heart, and it's Christ who performs that work. We were dead and uncircumcised, yet God made us alive. Our sins were no more, and we have been declared righteous in his sight. Romans 8:30. In those whom he predestined, he also called. In those whom he called, he also justified. In those whom he justified, he also glorified. Praise God. The heart of the covenant is, he is our God, and we are his people. What a marvelous thing it is that God, the sovereign Lord of the universe, is our God. He's my God. He's your God. How can we not respond with love, joy, and praises for such a great blessing? Next week is Reformation Sunday. And Ryan Henschen will be delivering a sermon next week. And next week's sola is Soli Deo Gloria. Thank you. For the praise of God alone. And so his title is, To God Be the Glory. So if you would bow with me in prayer. Father, we praise you for all the blessings you've blessed us with. But most of all, we praise you for loving us and being our God. We desire to live better lives to your glory and the opportunity to share your love with others. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen.